Turn in your Bibles to the book of 1 John. We're going to look at a passage that I believe we've looked at before, but never in the context of a study of the epistle. 1 John chapter 2, the end of the chapter, and then we'll, Lord willing, embark into the beginning of chapter 3. Boy, our last study together in this was just very empowering. That's the word I would use as I contemplated. I listened to the message again as I was preparing for tonight. Just kind of getting the run in, you know, the context that, to lead us into what we're looking at here. And it's just such a blessing and encouragement to know that God wants us as believers to live and walk with confidence. Just a confidence that who we are as His children. He's given us this anointing, as it talks about in chapter 2, which I believe is a picture of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He talks about how you know the truth and how a true believer knows the truth. You know, if we are doubting who we are in Christ, this is a great passage to remind us of that fact. Some qualities of children of God. So the anointing abides in you as a believer, teaching you of all things and is truth, and there is no lie. You shall abide in Him. Verse 27 of chapter 2 reads this way, "But the anointing which you have received of Him abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, you shall abide in Him." And now, verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. If you know that He is righteous, and you know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knows us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." John begins this passage with this thought of abiding. Notice the terminology he uses right before that. He says, "and now." So here is a reference to what are we to be doing right now as believers. If certainly we have this anointing and this truth and the Spirit that is teaching us this truth, and it says that as a believer abiding, we have the Spirit abiding in us, we shall abide in Him. So what are we to be doing as a believer? What is to be our drive? What is to be our focus? Well, abide in Him. I'm sure that when you think about that term abide, what comes to mind is another writing of John in John chapter 15, right? In John chapter 15, they have the picture of the vine and the branches. In fact, why don't we just look at that? Let's get it right before our eyes and see exactly how Jesus used this term. Because this is Jesus speaking here, and I believe John, in many ways, is drawing a reference from what he heard Jesus say the final night before he was betrayed. I like to picture they're walking by a vineyard. And heading to the Garden of Gethsemane. But John 15, verse 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in me, except it abide in the vine, no more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. As we contemplate this thought of abiding, and now little children abide in him, this really answers this question of what should I be doing now as a believer? How is it that I can maintain in life an assurance of who I am? This identity that the Bible tells me in 1 John, that I am a child of God, a son of God, a daughter of God. John, with a commanding tone here, an imperative, tells us to abide. Now that, you know, if you go around and you tell a child, abide in Christ. What does that mean to them? It's kind of one of these Christian terms that we will use, and we think we know what it means, and perhaps we do know what it means, but boy, it's awfully hard to explain it to a child. And if you can't explain something to a child, I'm learning this, then you might not really understand what you're talking about. And so I began to contemplate and think about this abiding. Now first, we have the illustration that Jesus gives us. Now when you think about what Jesus says in this passage in John 15, abide in the vine, abide in me, without me you can do nothing. Abiding is really a person making the choice to place themselves under the umbrella or under the care of Christ, where they know they will receive strength, where they know they will be fruitful. You know, this abiding is, you know, as John says it here, is an active term that he's telling us as believers we are to be doing this. This is what you are to be doing. Well, really, what that does is it causes us to say, well, what does that mean? Am I abiding? Now, I think we would all agree that as believers in Jesus Christ, we are his children. That's who we are. That's the truth of it. But sometimes the truth of it doesn't always match the life of it, how we're living, right? We can have that disconnect, and maybe we don't always realize it, but we can walk around with that disconnect. And we're not truly understanding, yes, I'm a son of child of God, but we don't really understand exactly what that means. And this is John trying to put words and help us to understand, hey, I'm a child of God. This is what it means. It means I'm going to rest and dwell in him. It means that the values that Christ has are the values that I have. It means that the pursuits of Christ are going to be my pursuits. It means that what or whoever he loves, I love. It means that as Christ has forgiven me, I forgive. John said it this way in chapter 2, verse 6. He said, he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk, even as he walked. And that picture there of abiding is really the living out of Jesus and who he is. And this is why it is so precious to have the Word of God. Because how else would we know him? Really? And that takes us one step further. If you today are going to be abiding in Christ, following this instruction, then you've got to be a student of the Word of God. This is where you must be, where I must be. You know, you could picture it this way. If you're going to abide in Christ, you're going to abide under His Word. And this is where you're going to be found, and you're going to be drenched by this truth. This is the truth that the Spirit of God takes and teaches it to you and applies it into your heart. This is the truth that He's talking about, that you know what it means to be a child of God. And so little children, and now, little children, this is right now, at this present moment, at this time, little children, abide in Him. And then He takes and He gives this very, very interesting motivation. But it's a motivation that perhaps we don't look at or contemplate enough. And that is the coming of Christ. I was so blessed, Harold, so many of the songs tonight were about His coming. Those last two. The King is coming. What a day that will be. And as I study this passage, you know, I am challenged to how often am I looking forward to the coming of Jesus? And so as we look at this, we see some future verbs here. And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. This is a future thing. This is something that is yet to happen. But what He is saying is, listen, abide in Him, that, now here's the motivation, when He shall appear, which is something that has not yet happened, this might be true of you. What two things? That I can have confidence, and that I can have not be ashamed. Not be ashamed before Him at His coming. Before Christ. Now, John has just concluded a fairly long discussion about the key doctrine of Christ as the Son of God and Antichrist being in the world who have chosen to disregard that key doctrine of the deity of Christ. And so when Christ appears, they will not be able to stand before Him with confidence, and they will be ashamed, because when He appears, it will be clear who He really is. So the motivation here is that Christ is coming again. And so John, as he is seeking to help us understand what it means to have right fellowship with the brothers and with the Father and His dear Son, Jesus Christ, he includes as a motivation of abiding in Him, Christ is coming. And when Christ comes, everything will be laid out bare, and it will be clear who you really are. And so the command and instruction to abide in Him is clear. You want to be one who can stand before Christ with great confidence, with a boldness, and not ashamed. We understand this in human terms in so many homes in America. Mothers tell their disobedient child, you just wait till daddy gets home. How many of us have ever heard that? How many of us have ever said that? Just wait till daddy comes home. You know, and interesting that on those days, daddy doesn't come home at the expected time. It's sometime we don't know when. But what is the attitude of this child? This is just merely human terms, but the attitude of the child is, I'm not excited to see him. I'm ashamed to see him. Why? What is it? Well, there was sin. There was a stepping outside of the parameters of the home. And so therefore you are opening yourself up for the chastisement. Certainly, God does chasten his children. And indeed, that's one of the marks of being a child of God, but that's for another message. But are you able to say right now, I can look at Jesus with confidence and without shame? You know, that really speaks to abiding. That's a motivation. That is something we can contemplate and think about and ask this question, am I abiding in Christ? Well, let me check. Am I looking forward to Jesus coming? Am I able to stand before him with a confidence and a boldness and without shame? Because if I am not, it means there's something wrong. It means that there is an abiding, that the abiding is not taking place. There means to be some changes and some repentance. John has been giving me in my faith increasing confidence, because he says statements like this in verse 29. If you know that he is righteous. Now, who is he talking about? Who is righteous? Jesus Christ. Of course, chapter 2, verse 1 says, Jesus Christ, the righteous. From a human perspective, Jesus Christ was the only human ever to be righteous. Completely righteous. And so, here we have, if you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. And as I thought about that, I was, my mind, you know what, maybe your mind's doing the same thing, but this is what my mind did. I immediately went to looking at other people. And I immediately began to think about, well, you know, is that person living righteously? Is that person living righteously? That's a dangerous place to go. It's tramping on territory that is, I believe, of God. Well, then what is this verse saying? I believe this is for the individual. If you know that he is righteous, if you know Christ is righteous, then you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. Am I doing righteousness? Is that me? You know, we could be so prone to get looking at all these other people around us, one another, the people outside. We could be so prone to be looking at them, but miss the individual examination here. If you know that he is righteous, then you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. So, how do I know that I'm born of him? Am I living righteously? Do I see the fruit? Back to John 15. Am I bearing the fruit of Christ and abiding in the vine? That fruit is righteousness. Righteousness here in this context, because it says doing righteousness, is speaking of a life that is lived as Jesus lived it. It is speaking of the works that are lived, that are observed and practiced. He is righteous. You know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. And the verb there is a perfect tense. Really, I prefer to translate it, has been born of him. Because we don't want to confuse at all this idea, and I don't think that's John's intent, that you do righteousness to be born of Him. That's not what it's saying, and don't read that. It's one that is doing righteousness has been born of Christ. Now here's that terminology, born of, speaking of this family of God, being children of God, back to that John 1:12. For as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. God purposely has instructed us about salvation and about His plan of redemption in the context of a family. He's the Father, Christ is the Son, we are His children, fellow heirs. We are His children. And so, we are right now to be abiding in Him. And we can allow ourselves to be motivated by the fact that He is coming again. We want to stand before Him with confidence, with no shame. We know He's righteous. Am I living righteously? Some profound thoughts. But you know, the value of this is how practical it is. Because it gives you the questions to ask. It helps you as a believer, helps me as a believer, to be able to walk with a confidence before God and before men on this earth, saying, I am a child of God. And that's the way God wants you to live, dear one. And so, are you living with that kind of confidence? If not, this is the passage. Spend some time in it. Understanding that Jesus is coming again. And understanding that the heart here behind what John is saying is, listen, live with a confidence. Live with no shame. What does that mean? Live as Jesus lived. Live righteously. We don't have time to unpack the rest of what I believe is this passage, because the first three verses of chapter 3 add even more to this motivation and this aspect of what it means to abide in Him. And this portion of John's letter is the portion that speaks of His coming. And we need to be those kinds of people. In the Lord's Supper, in the passage in 1 Corinthians that I read so often, we do this until He come. And God, in His Word, has purposefully put that out there for us, assuring us that He is coming, we will see Him again, we will be with Him. But in the same token, it is a motivation, isn't it? Because you don't know when. And I think God did that on purpose. You don't know when. And so He wants us to live consistently. He knows we can't live perfectly, but He wants us to live consistently for Him. He wants us to live with humble hearts, repentant of sin, knowing that He knows our lives already, and knowing that He is coming again. Lord, thank You for this time and for this truth. And I know, God, that we have talked about these things before, and this is a passage that many have known, but I tell you, I am blessed by being reminded of it. Thank You for Jesus. Thank You for the Word of God that shows us how You lived. It tells us. And God, encourage Your people as they go from this place. May we be a people that walk with confidence and boldness. And I pray that You would draw men and women and children unto Yourself this week. In Jesus' name, amen.